100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the sweet day off and 19 no long, so me say, oh, tight.
Hey, hey, Digital Sister back. Got a few things I want to talk to you about, which I thought was kind of interesting. Let's look at what's going on in USA Today, how hip-hop has become so mainstream that there's a whole article about a new, not new, but a trend in hip-hop called Hyphy, which is coming out of Northern California, the Oakland area. And Hyphy is, it's about energy. It's about making the kids just go crazy, but crazy in a good way. They make figure eights with their cars. They're driving down the street with the doors open. People are standing up out of their sunroofs, you know, really dancing. Much like, you know, some of the stuff you would see probably. Remember those 60s movies, you know, where the boys are and things like that? You know, kids having a good time. And this is what Hyphy's all about. But I thought, wow, how interesting, because I remember when hip-hop really began in the late 1970s? It began up in the Bronx when it was about breakdancing and people doing their moves and rapping to show, you know, how tough they were. It wasn't about violence or anything like that. And then how, you know, it evolved a little bit, and you had a lot of the rappers come out of that scene, you know, LL Cool J, and he's still around, which is a good thing. But then in the 90s, you had the rise of the West Coast gangster rap with Tupac, Snoop, you know, Dr. Dre, and how that trend of gangster rap from Death Row Records just took over. I mean, everybody was into it. I mean, I liked it. I was very much into it. It was good music. You know, I just liked the way Dr. Dre laid down his beats, everything. It was just a lot of fun, good music that you could dance to. And then unfortunately it got too violent. I think people started believing too much of the hype of the gangster, you know, lifestyle. And unfortunately, you know, Tupac was gunned down, and then, you know, a year or two later you have Notorious B.I.G. being gunned down. So we lost two, I think, good and prolific rappers at way too young an age. But in any event, that whole trend with gangster rap and California, the West Coast rap was interesting. And then you had the rise of Master P down in New Orleans, and groups in Atlanta with Jermaine Dupri and Outkast and things like that. And what they're doing now in the Southern rap is a style called crunk or snap. So I just find it interesting how within the realm of hip-hop, how the trends and the different styles are evolving. So Hyphy is something for Northern California. Crunk and snap is of the South. So it's just interesting to see the different types of styles. I happen to be more of an old school type. I like a lot of the old school stuff because I like music that has, you know, a good beat. I like a little bit of house music, that kind of thing. I'm not really too much into a lot of the Southern hip-hop because, you know, I want to hear something more about, you know, how good your, as Nelly says, how good your grill is, or, you know, just some other stuff. I'm just not really into it. But I just find it interesting how the trend in hip-hop is changing and how hip-hop has become more mainstream. With the 3-6 Mafia winning you know, their Oscar for It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp, you see more and more articles about hip-hop in mainstream papers like USA Today, which is good because it is a musical genre, and, you know, it deserves to be covered just like other forms of music. So, very interesting. But let's get back to talking a little bit about Suge Knight and what's going on. You know, in the 90s, Death Row was it. That was the jam. That was the place to be. And here it is, you know, some, you know, 10-plus years later, he's filing for bankruptcy to put Death Row into receivership because, you know, he doesn't have the money anymore because of, you know, probably legal problems and all kinds of lawsuits, whatever, and that kind of thing. So it's interesting that here he was at the top of his game a few years ago, and now, you know, I'm sure he's got some money stashed away, but here he is having to put Death Row, one of the most popular labels in hip-hop, into receivership. Another interesting trend I think that's going on in hip-hop that we need to talk about is this whole issue of no snitching. You see t-shirts with it now, and you have two rappers who are in the forefront with this whole snitching issue. One is Lil' Kim, who, you know, is serving her year term in federal prison in Philadelphia for witnessing a shooting outside the Hot 97 radio station, but then lying to the grand jury about what she saw or who was with her. And, you know, they gave her a year in federal penitentiary. And the interesting thing is, you know, they did a phone interview with her. You know, she wasn't saying anything like, you know, I'm really looking at my life, or, you know, whatever, I found the Lord, or, you know, nothing like that. She's saying, only thing I can ask my fans to do, and this is a quote, is to go out and buy 5 or 6 albums. Please support your girl. I need y'all help me. I need y'all help. I need you all to support me right now. More than ever, I need... Oh, more than ever, I don't need any money on my commissary, which is her book. She doesn't need any money on her book. I need y'all to support my album. Now, probably what Lil' Kim doesn't realize is that there may be a backlash, because when she went to jail, she just dropped her new album, and apparently it's only sold 326,000 copies, which apparently in music terms is not very good. So it basically tanked, and it may have tanked because people are doing a backlash against her snitching. Or maybe it just isn't a great album. Who knows? But in any event, she's concerned about it, and she's concerned about it from jail. So, very interesting. It may mean with this kind of statement that maybe she's not doing as much reflecting about how, you know, things could maybe be better for her when she comes out. You know, so very interesting that she's made that kind of comment, and you know, just strange. And then we have Busta Rhymes, who's caught up in the same kind of situation. His bodyguard, who was a friend of his, someone he employed, knows their family, was, you know, shot dead out of coming out of a recording studio. And apparently, you know, Busta saw it along with some other people, but he's decided to stay silent and go along with the no snitching. And he's not talking. And we have an activist, Jeffrey Davis, whose own brother was gunned down in New York City, who was a local alderman in Brooklyn, New York, was gunned down, you know, over something crazy. So his life was touched by violence. And what Jeffrey Davis is doing is he's deciding that he's had enough of many of the rappers, you know, getting into some trouble, maybe seeing some things, and deciding that rather than perhaps do the right thing and give some information that might help solve a case and solve a murder of someone, you know, they're more concerned about protecting their credibility in the street and, you know, staying true to the street, okay? So I think that's a very interesting trend that may affect some rappers who get into trouble. This whole no snitching trend, you know, it may cause them trouble in the long run. So I think that's something that bears watching. And it will be interesting to see, you know, how it plays out, if more rappers get involved in this sort of thing, or if eventually, you know, they decide that, you know, maybe I'll do the right thing and step forward. I mean, the police will go out of their way for celebrities, arrange all kinds of, you know, secret ways that you can give information that nobody has to know, you know, who it is. So, I mean, they can use their celebrity to, you know, solve a crime if they want to. But in any event, it will be interesting to see how that trend affects some of the rappers in the hip-hop industry. Now, I have to weigh in on what happened with Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney earlier this month. I mean, here is a congresswoman, wasn't wearing her pin, you know, doesn't stop when the guard asks her to start. The policeman asked her to stop. And then when he kind of reached out and said, excuse me, you know, basically to that effect, she hauls off and hits him with the cell phone. And then comes on all the talk shows in the morning to talk about that it was racial profiling and much ado about a hairdo and all this kind of nonsense. But really, what she didn't talk about was her own arrogance. You know, if the policeman asks you to stop, stop. And just explain who you are, you know? And I'm sure that would have been the end of it. But she probably got a little touch of arrogance came over her, and she decided she didn't have to stop. She decided she would just go on. And she did what she did. Now, the problem is nobody, her fellow congressman, nobody supported her. And then here's this whole grand jury thing coming up. And so what happened? The Congressional Black Congress called her in on the carpet in a closed-door meeting and told her, you know, let this go and figure out a way to make this go away. And that's what she did. She apologized, and it's over. So, you know, when that kind of situation happened, she wanted to look at what exactly was her motivation. Did she need some press at this time? Was she not getting interviews or offers for interviews, and so she had to create a scene that would get her, you know, on television? I mean, and people were snapping her up. She was on everything. So, you know, you have to wonder what the motivation was and why she felt the need to do that. But in any event, I'm so glad she put this to rest. I'm so glad that, you know, she made an apology, you know, because it was just turning into a bad situation that was beginning to make her look more and more foolish. So I'm glad that that was resolved. In any event, that's probably the end of my reflection for tonight. Thank you again for tuning in and helping Digital Sister to grow and become, you know, popular. I really appreciate that. And I will be back to you in a couple of days with more reflections and more conversation. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back with you in a few days. Digital Sister signing out.
You can't mess with this song.